You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
I was playing around with Google Maps, checking out the brand new Gulf of America, and got curious about how far apart the three hosts of this show live from each other. Matt and I are about 130 miles apart, so not too bad. Jake lives roughly 2,900 miles from both Matt and I. We're lucky to live in a time where our voices can ping-pong across the United States, coast to coast, and wind up on a somewhat cohesive-sounding podcast in your very ears now. But what's even more fun is to look at the stats of where our listenership is based. Yes, we have lots of listeners in our home states and cities, but we also have listeners all across the globe, places like Singapore, Greece, Japan, India, Germany, Bulgaria, and Australia. So as you're listening to this in your little corner of the world, keep in mind that you're also sharing the same experience with someone else in another country, culture, and language. And I think that's a pretty beautiful thing. Especially when that shared experience basically boils down to dick jokes. I'm Brandon.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Matt.
And this is Qualified Nonsense.
You're not wrong.
Or in your little part of the world, or your, some might call it a hummus cannon.
No.
Yeah. See, yeah, we just start with a dick joke, so the prophecy is fulfilled.
You're welcome, listeners. Well, that's our show. Thanks for tuning in.
How's everybody's week?
You know, good, hanging in. Yeah, it's my final week at my current job, and
suckers.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the new job next week. I already got my new work computer. I haven't spun it up yet, but
are you gonna office space everybody on the way out? Like,
you fucking
it's been made abundantly clear, which is actually really like the best version of leaving a place of employment, but everyone's like, the door's still open if you ever want to come back, and it feels like that could be just something that they say, but also it feels like it's been mentioned enough times that it feels genuine, at least, or certainly they've fooled me into thinking that it's genuine. So I've just been feeling all the good feels, and none of the bad feels in leaving. So that's been nice.
Are they gonna do it like a going away party for you?
They already did on Monday. They did coffee and donuts. They asked to throw a lunch, and I was like, I'm more of a I don't know that I need a full lunch. I'll do something more low key is just fine. And so the director of
no
the
way you should have taken him to the bank. Be like, oh, lunch.
I mean,
what do you want?
Sure.
Oh, that steakhouse down the street is pretty nice.
I mean, you know, I'm sure I've let it slip before, but they don't have bottomless pockets. So I was like, no, coffee and donuts is good. So I had some decent coffee and donuts from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Nice.
Yeah.
They don't have a large endowment?
No, not a lot of endowments happening here.
Just a mediocre endowment.
It's an average endowment.
Bummer.
What about you guys? What's the week been doing?
Mine
was
good. I
got sick
again.
We can't do that. But see,
I'm not gonna lean into it. They're gonna think this is like all just on repeat. Like, oh, he just has this response. So I learned something today that kind of blew my mind. And Jake, maybe you know this, because what's your one favorite snack that you like to eat that we all thought was kind of weird? I don't know why
dry ass corn chips? No,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. So you guys remember Juanitas?
Yeah, dude. I could destroy a bag of Juanitas in a single sitting.
Did you know that they cannot be called Juanitas anymore? We don't have Juanitas here. Actually, we do in the Pacific Northwest, and that's it. Did you know that Juanitas is called Juantonios now, but it looks almost exactly the same? And the reason is because I came home and looked it up. I was like, I thought I was losing my mind. I was like, no, these are Juanita's chips.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am just coming off of the being on the flu and way too much NyQuil and stuff. So I was like, maybe I'm hallucinating. But yeah, Juantonio's is what they're called. And they wanted to start distributing nationwide. Mm-hmm. And they got sued by another distributor brand for having the same name. So they had to rebrand themselves to get the distribution that they wanted.
Interesting.
Meanwhile, Juanita's can still be sold in the Pacific Northwest region, and that's it.
So
I just found it interesting. Ones
near me are now branded as Juantonio's.
So you noticed it too.
Yeah.
Did you know this was a thing?
Yeah. Because I looked it up also.
Okay. Did you know that this is a thing, Jake?
I didn't. No. I mean, Juanita's is well known in our family. But as Brandon mentioned in his introduction, I don't frequent the Pacific Northwest, and the corn chip industry is not high on my radar of things I keep track of. But Juanita's is delicious. So wait, so it is still Juanita's where you guys can buy it, or is it Juanita's?
Juanita's still can. But all I've seen now since looking at it was Juantonio's. But the bags look almost identical.
Well, so I do know that the last time I was in the Pacific Northwest, my brother, who is a brand graphic designer person for a brand company, and so he pays close attention to all that stuff, and he was talking about how not Tostitos, but Frito-Lay maybe has a very similar brand of chips that is essentially branded to look like Juanita's, but I don't remember the full details. We should get that guy on. He would be fun to have
Frito-Lay makes like a specific tortilla chip for the Pacific Northwest that I forget the name now, but it is it's kind of deceptive because the bag looks really similar.
Yeah, they like made it smaller, made it like, yeah, they basically took the Juanita's sort of like style, both in branding and in packaging, and they did that. They like replicated it. But well, it but you're talking about to be, something to, different.
It only needs to be 30% different. At the brewery, we got a cease and desist, and that was the legality behind the logo we were using. Like, nope, you can change it, but it needs to be definitively 30% different.
I am surprised how far some breweries, when you look at some labels, how much they toe that line. And because like, as far as like, they'll even put like licensed characters or characters looking enough like licensed characters and things like that. Or even
The easiest way to answer it is because the majority of them are all small batch, like 10 barrels or less, and they brew it, mm-hmm. they can it, they put it into distribution, and it's gone. But by the time somebody catches wind of it, they're like, oh, you need to see and do this. And like, sorry, it was a one-off. It's already gone. Like, we don't have it anymore. So it's like, can't recall it. So
right,
it's pretty easy just like be like, oh, sorry, I didn't know that.
I know there's a Colorado brewery. I don't even know if they're around anymore. Trinity Brewing. They mostly did saisons, but like all their beers.
Yeah, probably were not around then.
Office Space themed. Like they all had like Office Space names and references and things. And it's kind of surprised they never got sued. But
there's a small brewery here that consistently rips just pop culture references. And I get it, but at the same time, I find it really sad that if you can't have your own creativity to make something your own, like sure, use the name or whatever, but like draft something up rather than being like drag and drop. I find it lazy.
Yeah,
like, super lazy.
It does seem a little hacky, right? It's like, because even when it is glib or like very obviously intended to be sort of farce, I guess. It's still kind of like, I mean, especially if the beer, like I find it particularly irritating if the beer is good, So I'm like, just do like your own thing. And then like, you got a solid product. Like, why did you have to cheapen it by, you know, putting like a faux Mickey Mouse head on it or whatever.
Yeah. I understand the nostalgia and like, oh, it's funny. Cause it's like Jurassic Park, but it's
right.
Whatever. Or it's
like, oh, that's an Anchorman quote. I mean, maybe that's why like they do it is just for kind of that shelf recognition, people walking by and say, oh hey, I know what that is.
I mean, I guess that's
I mean, going point. Back there's to like... the animation festival, it's the what, like, I'm a consumer whore and how right like, I mean, that's pretty much what you're going for. You're like, I just want somebody to buy this.
Yeah,
like the beer well, could, the I mean, beer could also like be terrible and you're like, oh, I bought it just because of the label.
That's true. You'd have to imagine that they're
Which that's predominantly what I've run it. Into.
They're
that's
selling
how you sell
it.
That's how you sell it.
Right. They're selling you're it polishing before they know what it tastes like, essentially. They're like, you know, and in the Pacific Northwest specifically, but I figure in most parts of the country at this point, sort of craft breweries are, I don't want to say a dime a dozen, but like.
They're dwindling.
Yeah, okay, that's fair, but to the point
there
of
is
like
a lot trying of saturation
trying to sell it, like if you're sitting on a shelf trying to sell it, you need something like that pops from the shelf, even if it is sort of hacky. It if it actually sells, then I don't know.
There's a brewery up here that, and I know we're going on a tangent here, but their beer I don't find overly remarkable. But their branding is so consistent. They have the shelf recognition, but it's simple. So like each style has its own color and everything's uniform on the label to match as so.
Mm-hmm.
They're called San Juan. And that, in my opinion, is like actually creative branding. You're trying to get yourself to like, you get X amount of shelf space too, because you're not just working on one can, but that one Ghostbuster theme thing, yeah. You have like five in a row. And that'll catch your eye. You're like, oh, that's actually neat and clean, and it's probably pretty good.
The type of cans that catch my eye are the like vintage looking ones that look like old style beer cans, yeah. Like
sort of classy looking.
Yeah, that look like you know, like old hams or something like that, like a lot of kind of Germanic sort of theming and stuff like yeah. That. Like that's always eye catching to me. Just because it stands out more. But I feel like it's always like that style is used for like, oh, here's our cheap American lager that we're making. And that's what we're going to use for.
There's at the Washington Beer Awards when I was in the industry, there was a brewery out of Seattle. I forget who it was, but they made a beer called Seattle Light. And they actually bottled it in the Stubbies as well. You should look that beer up, Brandon. It's exactly, and that's, it was such a hit at the festival. They were kind of getting upset that the industry people were flocking and just like walking around with what looked like, you know, your dad's kind of beers. Like yeah. These are respected brewers and industry folk. You should be drinking the pastry stouts and whatever. but it was,
oh yeah,
it was
like, yeah, that looks cool.
It was like so nostalgically branded, and it like, it came in a glass stubby bottle, which is like also just a nice like but then you started like seeing them around the festival. It looked like a concert or something, like Metallica show.
Oh, that does look good. So speaking of labels, like what do you guys gravitate towards when you are buying beer?
Like,
actually, you know what, I'll say buying beer? no as far as like
what,
well, sure, style of beer, but also what catches your eye. And I'll actually expand that slightly, because I recognize it in myself that I do that with wine too. I'm not a big wine drinker, but when I do, the label sometimes matters more than the price. Not like I'm dropping a ton of money on wine, but like basically like labels that look classier get my attention more. But it's, I would say also probably the same goes for hard alcoholic. If I'm trying something new, what's the sort of labeling that jumps out at you?
Well, I would say,
I mean, like I said, I like the like classical kind of looking, like 70s looking labels, but yeah, I don't know if it has like a character I recognize. Like I've bought ones like that just have like the creature from the Black Lagoon on them or whatever. And
oh, so you're the one supporting the laziness.
Yep. Yep. Or you know anything like the kind of like, oh, this has a shark on it, I'll try that, you know. It's right. Like just really lazy thinking, I guess.
But for me, it's I guess having been in the industry for a bit, was, you know, a lot of breweries, and this is it's an investment that it's more complicated than outwardly it sounds. But like the breweries that actually go for the wrapped cans all the way to the top and not just the stickers that stop there, you can get your, mm-hmm. It's more expensive and you have to order more quantity. So it's like a beer you're going to have to make more than once generally. Right. But I think it's a cleaner design. It looks more professional in my opinion, kind of shows you're going to the extra effort to put your brand out there and you're taking that extra effort to grab my attention as the consumer. So, yeah.
I like for the ones that advertise the alcohol content in big letters. So it's like 9%. And yeah. You know, that's what
the ones that usually say Monster Beast.
Yeah. Like four logos or whatever.
If it doesn't say malt anywhere on it,
if it's not something ice, I'm out.
I will take my business elsewhere.
If it's not in a 40-ounce glass bottle. Then
I remember in speaking of 40-ounce glass bottles, in Mexico, there was a game called, well, it's hardly a game. It was called, it totally slipped my mind.
Edward, I remember 40 this, hands?
It was like that, except for it was with the Corona like Familiar, which is like the 40 ounce brown bottles. Yeah. And so I guess it was Edward 40 ounce. But but there was a guy that would always be like, "Ooh, I Kawoma," because it was the the large bottle of Corona Familiar.
I don't know.
Eduardo, that would get me hands.
that actually might have been it. That's good.
What's Edward in Spanish?
Eduardo.
Just Edward? Eduardo.
Is that what you said?
Brandon just made that.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you just said Edward. Sorry.
He hasn't been feeling well.
Edward de Quarenta Manos.
That just sounds like, oh god, that whole game just sounds awful. Just, my bladder is the size of a walnut, so I'd get 10 ounces in, and
I know, especially now, I'd be like,
I'd be breaking it off my hand, like,
At that point, I just want it out, right? It's just like, ooh, it's got to already be prepped, ready to go. All weenie way
walking around with your party hummus cannon spraying everywhere.
I don't think I can get on board with this hummus cannon nonsense.
I just learned this one as a reference for it, so I got to test the waters.
Also, what's like, coming out the consistency of hummus?
Like, I don't know. Drink some water, dude.
Not an influencer. It's a guy who has a satire profile that calls it that. It's pretty funny. Brandon, how was your week?
Right, Brandon.
Mine was good. I was able to complete seeing all of the 2024 Best Picture, I guess, 2025 Best Picture nominees.
What are they? In case any of our listeners don't know.
Here, I'll tell you my ranking of them in order.
Ooh, oh, yes, boy. Please.
So there's 10 nominees from worst to first. Here we go. So here's my ranking. Number 10, Emilia Perez. It's a musical about a drug cartel, the head of a drug cartel who wants to get out of the drug game and
Turn that into a sex musical?
Change. Yeah, it's a musical. It's
and a sex change?
but it's directed by a French guy, written and directed by a French guy. It's awful. It was honestly probably one of the worst movies I've seen this year, but didn't like it. But it is on Netflix, so you can watch it.
It's like the Netflix. Sex Change Operation. Is that like a musical number?
Yeah, it's like penis to vagina, and like there's like actual like lyrics about it.
And you said that that was in last place, huh?
Yeah. I was not a fan. Also nominated for Best Picture. Number 9 on my list is Wicked.
I knew two little girls who would very much disagree with you.
Yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan of Wicked. I've got number 8, Dune Part 2.
Oh, interesting.
I like the second one better than the first one, but I don't know. I have a hard time getting into Dune.
Yeah, the entire series. Like
it looks nice. But yeah, I don't know. To me, it's kind of dull.
Really, it's really dry. Like, no pun intended.
I realize I'm in the minority, but
well, it's like a big world builder, or like a universe builder. And if you're not sort of interested in the universe, then that's a pretty easy thing to be like, well, meh. I did see a cool Lego set that someone made of a Dune worm that was basically a mechanical on rotation of like someone riding a worm. I'll send it to you.
I'm also kind of over the like age where every actor has to be in it. Like right now we're in the Timothy Chalamet area. I'm just kind of tired of seeing him.
I'm not, because I got one coming up. Another one with him in it. Number 7, The Brutalist. Adrian Brody movie. It's 3.5 hours long, has an intermission. About a Hungarian architect who fled Europe to avoid the Holocaust and came to America, and then starts working for this rich guy played by Guy Pearce to build a monument for him.
I've only seen the trailer for even a few of these, but it just seems super existential. Was it that?
No, it's more like a, I know this sounds so fart sniffy, but like a meditation on the American dream and class. And it does kind of, it's really impressive, just the scope and length of it and all that. It kind of falls apart in the second half, but overall, like, it's really well acted and definitely worth seeing. Then the 6th Best Picture nominee, or in number 6 for me, is A Complete Unknown, which is the Timothy Chalamet, Bob Dylan movie, which I was really surprised that I liked it as much as I did, because I kind of marginally like Bob Dylan, but then like you watch this and it's like especially in a movie theater with like the sound turned up and everything, like you like hear the music and like the like a Rolling Stone kicks in, it's like that like drum beat, and then like the organ kicks in and like hits you in the chest, and it's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, interesting.
Like, this guy's an asshole, but I see why everybody likes him. Then 5, I have The Substance, which is kind of a like body horror type movie with Demi Moore, and she's a aging actress who she's losing parts because of her age, and so she gets sent this ad for this stuff called The Substance that creates a younger duplicate of you, that it's like it comes out of her back, and like you have to like the duplicate lives life for 1 week while the original has to rest, and then they switch places. And the younger version starts getting a career and famous, and while she's like sucking the life out of Demi Moore. It's really good. It's gross. It's fun. I don't know. I liked it. Number four, Anora, which is about the son of a Russian oligarch who is in America, and he falls in love with this sex worker who he ends up marrying, and then once the family learns about it, they have to come to America to try to get him back and like annul the marriage, and it's a really entertaining movie.
I've heard that one's really good.
It's kind of funny, but also sad. Number three, I'm Still Here, which I saw last night. It's a Brazilian movie about when Brazil was under a military dictatorship for 21 years. It takes place in the 70s. This woman, her husband is kidnapped, and he is basically disappeared by the Brazilian government because he's in the opposition. And it's about her carrying on with her life and raising their family. And it's I liked it a lot. Interesting to watch with today's lens of everything we have going on. Number two, I have Conclave. I've talked about Conclave on here before. It's mostly just old guys in robes talking to each other, but it's really fascinating.
It's an all-star cast.
Yeah. It's just a lot of good actors acting and talking about the Pope, which it's interesting to kind of see that process. And then my number one movie of 2024 is, which is also nominated for Best Picture, Nickel Boys. Which I read the book to it. The book I highly recommend. But the movie does a really good job with it. It's all told from first person perspective about, it takes place in what is it called? Not a reform school. I guess a reform school in the Jim Crow South. And the perspective switches back and forth between two kids who are at this reform school, and they're really brutal to the students, and it's based on a real place. And it's a movie that works really well in the theater also. It's pretty heavy, so you're not going to feel great after you see it, but it's really, really well done. So,
well, there you have it.
A while.
Matt, have you seen any of these?
No. I've seen part of Wicked.
Yeah, I've been out of the game for a while, but yeah, I don't think I've seen
been to a movie in these. Ages.
Yeah, same.
Okay. I guess I've been to a couple of kids' movies, but I haven't been to one that I wanted to see in ages. Right. I was going to go I was going to try to see the new Gladiator before it left theaters, and then I wound up renting it, and I was really thankful I didn't go to the theaters to see it. It sucked. It was really bad.
That's one I actually haven't seen.
I was really looking forward to it too, and I was incredibly disappointed. It's essentially the same story with newer characters and Denzel Washington.
Yeah, that's
and everybody is English. Everybody is like Roman Empire English, like, "Oh, what do you say, sir?" And he's like, "My gladiator." You know, it's like it really throws off the he's more or less Denzel Washington without exploding things and guns in the movie.
I like
And well, somebody's I was like, gonna say yeah, I like Denzel I mean, Washington, really, but like, Denzel, I don't I think really we
because
should.
He's like, he does do the same sort of shtick. I feel like,
yeah, he's one of those tough guys that like sits there and intimidates you with his words, and if he stands up, then you get
Which, you know what, I don't know. To be honest, like, this is going to also sound a little fart sniffy, but like, I've been pretty underwhelmed by the times that I have made an effort to go watch a movie, which has been very few. I'm always, almost always underwhelmed because, you know, Matt, as you know, it costs a lot of money to not only go to a movie, but like to get babysitting and like,
yeah,
it's like it turns into like a huge expense. I sound like a curmudgeon, but it's
that is the one nice thing about me and Kara is she likes wildly different movies than I do, so we have no problem just being like, no, like she went to go see Nosferatu.
And I was okay.
No desire. So like, hey, go for it. We'll hang out with the kids.
Oh, nice. Like, okay.
Oh, babe, the new Jackass is coming out. She's like, yeah, cool. Like, we should get a babysitter, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe that's what you should do, Jake, is set your bar super low and like only go for the stupid stuff that, you know, like dick jokes and ball taps.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's actually it. Maybe I need to just
be more realign
my expectations. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I guess we'll see how you're. When are the awards?
March 2nd, I want to say.
Oh, we got some time.
Yeah.
We'll see if you reassess your list and report back.
Listeners, yep. if you have strong opinions about anything that Brandon said, drop us a line. Come at us, bro.
Well, and to be clear, those are my rankings of the movies nominated for Best Picture. For the most part, the top few would probably be my top movies of 2024, but I would add a couple and remove some, obviously.
Yeah. Right. No, this is, yeah, Oscar lens specific.
Like, yeah, you forgot that
Nosferatu. I would probably add that on there. But anyway,
you also forgot that Hot Frosty came out on Netflix right before that. Still is.
Is that a sex act?
Hot Frosty, right? No, it's so Netflix produced what would seem like a Hallmark movie, and they did a very good job about making it look like a Hallmark movie. But it's about a snowman that comes to life and tries to teach the town magic, but he's like a chiseled snowman. So it's like, he's a right. And he has like abs and stuff, and they knew exactly what they were doing, but he's a dumb, dumb, like they're pretty much making satirical content, out of Hallmark movies. And they made it actually quite enjoyable and funny at the same time. Hot they Frosty. Found, check it out.
They found so their that's audience.
Matt's top movie of 2024 is Hot Frosty.
If they don't, like, the fucking thing's rigged if they don't win anything.
You know, actually, speaking of movies, I watched that Pixar movie about feelings, the second one that came out. I watched that.
Inside Out 2.
Inside Out 2. And that made me feel stuff. That's my review.
That's why I didn't watch the second one, because the first one I was like, ugh, I hate you.
I've never seen you. God damn you.
Daddy, why are you crying? Shut up.
You're crying. Turn go to your the room. Flame.
So, Brandon, the premise is that they're all little balls of emotion, and they like work in the sensor of a kid. Isn't Al Franken? Al Franken is the like the fiery one, right? He's the upset one.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
I'll have to look it up later, but it was one of those.
Is that Lewis Black?
Lewis Black. There you go.
But yeah, basically kids have very basic emotions that are sort of one note. And then as a child matures, like things can be both happy and sad. And then that sort of journey, and it makes you feel things. And then the second one made you feel more things. And like, I don't like to feel more than I need to, so so I'm all set.
Well, should we take a break and get our emotions in check and answer some questions?
You don't know me. Be right back.
This message is brought to you by DSPS. TikTok and YouTube Reels are great fun for memes, recipes, and shaking your booty. But did you know that there are natural ways to trigger your brain to release dopamine? Exercise, sunlight, and sleep are just a few ways for you to get that little boost of those good feels and energy. At Doomscroll Prevention Service, we want you to be your best self. So just take that D out and scroll a normal amount. DSPS is not responsible for poor messaging and is in need of marketing overhaul.
And welcome back. Feel free to drop us a line at qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or head over to the Reddit. Drop a question there.
Or do we have a server up yet?
Oh, our Discord server? No, it's not up yet.
Can we get our Discordies up?
I overpromised, underdelivered.
Well, don't check there.
So I have randomized the list of questions that we culled from Reddit, and got them in order, randomized them, because last week's episode it was kind of a shit show on the air, so we've
happened live.
Yeah. So we've done it behind the scenes because it's not that interesting to listen to me going, hold on, click, click, click.
I don't
click,
know. I kind of like that.
If you like to see Brandon under pressure, it is kind of fun sometimes.
You want to see how the sausage is made? Come on in.
All right. So first question comes to us from the username is deleted, so I can't see. But it is from r/askmenover30.
Oh, we're them.
We are qualified.
So their question is, reacting to texts with hearts, what does this mean?
Oh, this is really good. I'm glad this is a question.
This is good because are you guys Apple or Android users?
I'm an Apple.
I'm Android.
User.
Android. I think we talked about this recently, but I'm glad this person brought this up. There was recently a lawsuit in Europe. Apple got sued over the SMS versus whatever Apple used to be on. And now they all got to be RCS. So we can actually, Android people, interact with Apple users and heart their stuff.
Yep.
However, my business partner has come back to me and said, it's so random. Like, some of your messages, it'll heart it and then repeat the message back to you. And I was like, yeah. Because you know what? Every time you Apple users hearted one of mine, it sends the entire message back.
Yep.
It's like, so now you have to deal with it. Just suck it up and deal with it.
Yep. So that's, yeah. So Android was able to get that ability, and they changed all of their operating systems to reflect accordingly. So if an Apple device hearts a message, it comes through normally to you, but then so now Apple is the one that's like sort of behind the times, if you will. And I remember when that happened because, you know, of course Reddit blew up and was like, you know, basically showed the receipts of Apple's products breaking down with the messaging chain and being like, your move, Apple. And so I always love seeing Apple struggle a little bit, even though I'm an Apple user. I hate some of the practices that they do, but yeah, they're always in litigation in Europe. Europe's got them. Europe's got their next like 20 or 30 years booked out with court stuff.
With the question, I feel like that aspect should be taken away entirely.
Oh,
like, I don't think you should be able to interact with like angry face or thumbs up or 100 or yeah, bro. Like, just say okay, or you know, like, just acknowledge it like a person. Be like, double tap.
I think, Matt, you are guilty of using these a lot, though. So,
I do, but like in, but that I in text message form,
not
especially.
To call you out, but
it's no, especially. I would say especially
angry face.
I would say especially in group messages, though. Like, if you're having a business conversation too, I think that should not be used at all. I think you should acknowledge the text with a verbal okay, I think this, but not like just a simple heart.
Okay, but what about responding with a Giphy?
Now, see, that tells a story.
Okay.
I'm all about.
I think in a work setting, like once you, I mean, you can't put that toothpaste back in the tube, and then like once somebody starts reacting with a GIF, then somebody's like, oh well, then I'll send one too, and it's just like this huge chain. It's like, oh my god, now I'm all, like watching a movie, and then it gets
I can't afford to put another one on my list. These are all too good.
So the company I'm going to, the company that I used to work for, and then the company that I'm going to uses Slack heavily. I don't know if you guys have used Slack much, but mm-hmm. they have a lot of native support for things like Giphy and Slack. You can like make your own emojis. I know for a long time, the method in which we would respond to something that we would take responsibility for, like, so if someone said, hey, we have this thing that we need you to do, I would respond with an emoji of like myself, like a picture of myself. That's how I would emote, and that was me taking responsibility of that task, which is pretty silly, but also it alleviated a bunch of unnecessary text. Just boop my face in there, and then that was now my responsibility. So like it does have its benefits for brevity, but it also like got way out of hand. So
it does open the floodgate. We use in my company, we use GroupMe, and it's pretty much the same. It's like a messenger, and it's where we shout out, hey, you signed a deal, hey, this person's calling in for a quote, and it does support GIFs, and it can get like during Super Bowl. You know, it's inclusive of all of our sales reps nationwide. So it's like, go Chiefs, go Eagles, and a bunch of, you know, GIFs. It's like, okay, yeah. Let's tone it down with great power, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll never use the heart thing at work, but I do just use a like thumbs up to acknowledge a message a lot.
Well, so yeah, back to the question. The if you
That's double the dad click
on... If you double click on something, or if you simply just like for Facebook, I think is where it sort of originated, was if you would like something, to like something was to put a heart on it. And then it sort of evolved into thumbs up, thumbs down, heart, sad face, and happy face, or something like that. And, so back to the person's question.
Question mark. Like the question mark.
Oh, you're right. Question mark.
I was like, if you have a question, if you're going to question it, I get it. Like you could, I guess it's a boomer mentality, right? I get putting a question mark on something, but you could also just be like, hey, I need further details about like, don't just like, cause just asking a general question on an entire statement is pretty open-ended and vague.
Well, also like as somebody who has to answer it, that makes it kind of uncomfortable. It's like, am I answering what you're asking? I'm assuming a lot of things.
Yeah. Like, do you want clarification on this? Like what specifically are you uncertain about?
It lends itself to passive aggressiveness or just like poor communication in general.
I just sent a middle finger emoji back.
There's an interview from, I don't know, probably the last 10 years of Cillian Murphy being interviewed, and one of the questions is like, what's your favorite emoji to use? And like the actor who he was sitting with was like, he like said something, and then Cillian said, I prefer to write full sentences with proper punctuation. And that was his answer, and it was just really dry. And it was also really endearing. I was like, I see you.
Next question.
I do my job. We use Microsoft Teams for a lot of communication. Yeah, and
me too. Teams.
I hate when somebody just messages hi, and then they wait for you to respond. It's like, just tell me what you need. Like, don't.
Yeah. I don't understand why people do that. Like on the site that we use for recruitment, you'll reach out and say, hey, you applied for this. We want to interview you, schedule. Here's the link, blah, blah, blah. And they'll just write back with, hi. I don't, at this point, I don't acknowledge them. Cause I was like, what? I'm moving on. Yeah. Next candidate. We get that. We get that more often than you would. Oh, I'm with you, Brandon. That's
I feel like I learned that early in early in my corporate sort of endeavors is that I wrote an email about access to a system in the organization, and the title of my email was something like "Hey" or something like that. And I remember getting my wrist slapped, being like, "Don't fucking send us something with hey with zero context in the subject matter. Like give it some validity so that someone will click on it and like care about whatever the fuck you're saying." And it came in like I forget who it was. It was someone who was not good with social skills, and they just came in so hot. But I was like, wow, that was a super valuable lesson. And I've always done that. Like I still add like pleasantries at the beginning, but I get to the point so fast, and I think that's appreciated.
One thing you could do, since you guys like them so much, is start your subject line with a riddle. And so they have to open the email. And so you could start the line. You could start your email with, "Margo did this to me." I actually filmed her because I thought you guys might enjoy it. But she got me while I was making dinner. I was like, "My mother." So what goes up, 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 up and never comes down? So you start your subject line there.
What goes up?
And then they have to open the email. And you could start off with your age.
Yeah, I'd ground her.
I just sent her to bed without dinner.
Nice. we have a friend of mine who's a new listener that was really tickled by that episode. he was listening back and he's like, "Oh man, I'm yelling at the phone as you guys are saying riddles." And he's like, I understand, Matt. I feel yeah. that."
My man.
The top answer here is, "I respond to dudes with hearts sometimes. I have business colleagues at other companies who respond with hearts. All it tells me is that we're painfully, inexorably millennial."
Well, yeah. I would almost be tempted to reply with emojis that make no sense, so people would stop doing it to me in return.
There is a guy that I work with does that. Like, he'll respond to stuff, you'll say something, and then he'll respond with like the like
rainbow
tongue out with the dollar sign or whatever. It's like, okay. Okay.
I mean, I think that's also a really good point, is that like interpersonal rapport, like it depends a lot. Like, I'm not doing that to I'm not giving emojis to everybody. It's unless it's like a thumbs up thing, like just an affirmative. But
I'm just going to do the guy dancing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
"Oh, your dad's in the hospital." Like, "Whoo!" You know, like.
Oh, that reminds me of someone writing. I'm sure we talked about this, but someone writing about a death in the family and letting everybody know, and then ending the message with LOL, and thinking that it was thinking that that meant lots of love. And the children of the people were like, "Mom, what the fuck are you doing?"
Oh yeah, I've seen that. It's like they said like the crying laughing emoji, and it was like, "Oh, I thought it was tears of joy or whatever."
Isn't lots that like the that's the original LOL was lots of love, right? I don't think that lady's wrong.
I don't think so. I've never known it to be lots of love.
It could be, I suppose.
That's what all the girls marked back on the prom invitations I sent them.
We might need to take this offline.
You guys ready for the next question?
I'm ready for the next one. We got time for another.
Yeah, full this send. Should be pretty quick. Comes from Ask Reddit from Ock Wolf, and they ask, "What old computer games give you the most nostalgia?"
Ski Free.
Ski Free's good. That's a good one.
It's kind of funny because I like a couple weeks ago downloaded this game, and it's the top answer. And it's Roller Coaster Tycoon. I actually started playing Roller Coaster Tycoon.
That's awesome.
Is that the one where you build the theme park?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a different version of the Sims?
Yeah.
It's in the same sort of genre of
nice
game. I remember there was another Tycoon one that I put, Dinosaur Park Tycoon was similar, and you would build a dinosaur park. That is
like Zoo Tycoon, I think.
Yeah. And
also that, yeah. We've talked about this before for some reason. I know we did, but that stupid pinball game.
Yeah. 3D, pinball 3D.
Yeah.
At the heart of those tycoon games, they are basically just business simulators. Like, you're just running a business, and it could be anything.
They've scaled that. I mean, those games have come a long way too. I've got a friend who she was like managing a team, and she's like, I don't know why I do this to myself, but when I go home, I have to get on to my she had some sort of like hospital game where she was like managing a hospital, and I was like, that just sounds like your actual job. And she's like, I know. And so I do it at work and I get paid for it, and then I go home and I play it and I manage a hospital for my downtime. I'm like, I don't know, maybe you should seek help or something.
It's weird. There was a period of time where so live streaming VR games is a thing, and they I don't know what it's called, but these people live stream them managing like a game store. I've seen dozens of these people, and it's all about ripping Pokemon cards. So it's like people that can't afford to actually rip Pokemon cards in real life. Uh-huh. So they have this VR game, and like they have customers coming in and they have to stock the shelf and stuff. But if there's nobody there, they run over to the counter, they pull up a pack or whatever, and they rip them. Oh, and it tells you the value, like, oh, I ripped one and it's worth $200. But really, it's just a VR digital game.
It's all digital. Yeah.
But I have heard that some of these people are able to now take them and sell them as NFTs. I was like, oh, God, is this where we're going? Like, you're taking digital Pokemon cards as. But it's just weird that people want to sit there and watch somebody live stream a game of them running a shop.
Yeah, I mean, it takes there's all kinds of very lucrative streamers who stream all kinds of wild stuff. That's wild stuff. It's like super duper tame, and you're like, okay.
I wonder if there are people streaming like the second answer here is Space Cadet pinball game. So Matt, to your point, but like people streaming games like that, or like Minesweeper or whatever.
I never really understood Minesweeper.
There was a period of time where I got really into it, and it's basically just like kind of a guessing game
with some guardrails,
educated guessing.
Yeah, right. Educated guessing. I would say so. These aren't necessarily retro. They are retro games, but they're sort of on the. As they approached the sort of next gen of gaming, which was, did you guys ever play Half-Life? It was like a first person.
No.
But there were like super cinematic moments in that. And I'll actually also say Call of Duty, Modern Warfare. It was the first time I sort of experienced like playing, you know, a mission or something, and then having like a cinematic event occur that you were at least partially controlling, like where you were looking, like something was happening and you were sort of actively participating in it. And I remember that being like mind blowing. I was really sort of taken with it.
I would also throw out there those Myst games.
Oh yeah. Myst. I hated those games. I was so bad at them. Luke was really good at them. I was dreadful.
I'd also put out Castle Wolfenstein 3D. Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever play that?
I didn't like play it much.
First person shooter.
Is that like the Germans? Super... You go kill all the Germans?
Yeah.
I played a lot of those games.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the Germans.
Well, yeah. I mean, Oregon Trail comes up.
Yeah.
Wolfenstein 3D, Doom, Age of Empires 2.
Dark Forces was cool. That was like a little bit more advanced than what's it called? Than like Doom or Castle Wolfenstein, but it was like Star Wars themed, so that was fun.
Leisure Suit Larry.
You could also say Grand Theft Auto. It goes back far enough. Like, you can see the evolution of, remember when it was like a top view only and your car would, like, that's pretty much all you could do is drive. And now look at where they've gone. Like, you can go into strip clubs and
so
kill someone, hookers.
Someone had a really, someone had a really funny and shocking video that they made of like someone working in a GameStop and a patron walks up and he's like, he has Vice City. So the second, I think it was the second 3D version of Grand Theft Auto. And the guy's like, oh, cool, retro game. And he's like, yeah, I know, they really captured the 80s like nostalgia thing. And he's like, no, I mean the actual game that you're buying right now is very retro. He's like, it's actually wild because there's been more time since this game came out than there was when the game was released to when it was set. And the person was like, what? And he like had to do the math. And they're like, what the fuck? It like ruined it for him.
I don't know if you guys want to do another question, but the next question on the list, I'm interested in hearing your answers. But
we could do like a fly by the seat of our pants sort of wrap up.
Okay, let me pull it up here. Okay, so this comes from Ask Reddit, also another deleted user.
Excellent.
They ask, what was the scariest city you've ever visited?
Oh, scariest city.
I don't know if it's the scariest city, but like the city I felt the most uneasy in. It was probably because we were slightly drunk. We were in Scotland and we went up to the Isle of Skye and the very tip called Portree. It's where they still, all the road signs are in, we would say Gaelic, but you're not supposed to call it that. It's called Gaelic. And there were some people like in jumpsuits following us. It looked like the setting felt like we were in a scene from Snatch almost or something. But yeah, they were just like following us and we ducked into a pub. And as it turns out, they were just kind of walking by, but we felt like we were kind of targeted as tourists because it's a very small town. And I don't know, these guys who look like gangsters were kind of following us like, oh, let's get out of here.
What about you, Brandon?
I don't know that I have an answer. I guess I do have the advantage of being like just a big guy, so I don't have to, you know, be too afraid. I've never been anywhere where I felt like, you know, that like I'm gonna get jumped or anything or like.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat.
Like there's places where like I've kind of like been through like sketchy parts of town, but it's never felt like I've never been like scared or like, oh, we got to get out of here. Come on. And
well, I guess, for example, you've been to Chicago, which is one of the, you know, deadliest cities in America. There was nothing about it that was like, oh, I shouldn't be here after night or something.
Oh, well, that's particular parts of Chicago. Like if you're in downtown, like touristy Chicago, it's all fine. It's the same can be said for New York, probably less so about New York, but like most of like New York proper, it doesn't really matter when you're there.
Yeah, I suppose I never felt that way. And when we were in New York,
Had moments where I've been uncomfortable, but that was more about the situation, unless I would think about the city. And both of the ones that come to mind are when I was younger in Mexico, I had to spend the night in a bus station in like the middle of Mexico City. And so like I slept with like my wallet in my front pocket and just being like, well, I hope I don't get my shit stolen. But like that wasn't so much about, that was like me being young and poorly equipped to stay the night in a city place.
There was one time I was walking back to my hotel in DC it was starting to get dark, and like this one guy was like yelling at me to give him money, but I mean, it wasn't.
I just remembered mine.
Ended up being fine. So,
so you're that one sentence reminded me. I went to a wedding in Nashville, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna stay at this Airbnb, and I was like, why is it so cheap? And I found out why it was so cheap. It was on the actual other side of the tracks. I had to cross tracks from the downtown area to get there. And it was a rough, rough looking neighborhood. And I was just like, you know, and again, like this is only a few years ago. So I'm a big guy and, you know, I'm not too concerned. But this guy, I was like walking towards my house and this guy sees me from across the street and makes eye contact. And I'm like, And he walks across the street to me and a car pulls up behind him, kind of like behind him and like back a couple hundred feet. And the guy's like, hey man, do you have any money? And I was like, no, you know, sorry, I don't. And he's like, okay, hey, listen, if anyone gets out of that car and grabs me, please call the police, because like they're gonna kill me. And I was like, I don't know, man. Okay. And he's like, I mean, you don't have to, like, you don't have any money. That's fine. But like, if anyone gets out of that car, like if they come after me, I'm probably going to die. So you just need to call the cops. And I'm like, okay, dude. And like, he like went down the street and then like he didn't hop a fence, but he like went through someone's backyard to get away from this car, and the car pursued him. And I was like, what the fuck? It was it seemed like, it didn't seem like they were fucking with me. Like the guy seemed like really scared but also like panhandling at the same time. It was very bizarre.
You're like, anyway, off to sleep, that was a fun wedding.
Yeah, it was one of the better
hopefully they don't see where I'm going. Follow
me. Well, I know, no, that's the thing. I was like, so they were like, oh no, that was, he said, do you have any money? And then he said, do you want to buy drugs? And I was like, no, thank you. And
yes.
because the cab or whatever had dropped me off like next to my place. So I was walking home, I was walking to the Airbnb. I was trying to get into my door. And so this like happens like outside the front door. And I'm like, well, they're now going to see me walk up into the place that I'm staying. Oh man, it was spooky.
I had one other, and it was when I was in San Diego with my aunt and uncle. I did go over to Tijuana with some people that were working at SeaWorld at the time.
Oh, yeah. I love and this story.
those people are crazy. That was the dolphin trainer specifically. But I was 19 and was going through some like explorational life changes of like my identity and what I believe in this world and yada yada yada. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, let's go to Tijuana with some dolphin trainers from SeaWorld. And it was nothing like terrible happened, but they ultimately left and I didn't realize it, so I had to get back by myself. And I was like, I'm not a very well traveled person at this point. So I was like, I'm in a different country and I'm in Tijuana and I know that they do donkey shows. And I'm going to die. I wound up being fine, but that was kind of,
does anybody know where the US embassy is?
It was kind of nerve wracking, but just, you know, dumb, naive kid.
The top answers here are, grew up in Bogota, Colombia in the early 90s. Every day was an adventure and survival. Luckily, Colombia is much better now.
Should have bought a lottery ticket.
This person says, any city where the Uber driver says, you sure you want to be dropped off here?
Yeah, Jake, you should get after your Uber driver in Nashville.
Yeah.
The person responded saying, yeah, this is what was said to me and my buddy's bar hopping in East St. Louis. Are you sure? Yeah, a bunch of people say East St. Louis.
Noted.
Another person says Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Cairo.
Cairo's bad with like grifters and swindlers.
I've always tried to take you
to the pyramids and stuff.
Yeah.
God, those videos are there's plenty of videos out there. They're insane.
It's a hotbed. I would say, yeah, anywhere where you're sticking out as a tourist, it's just like, cause a lot of places, that's their sort of bread and butter. Like the lower income people, like that's how they make ends meet.
Yeah. Like I'd say any war torn country at this point is probably not good to go.
Person says North Battleford, Saskatchewan, walked into a pub by my hotel and was told, I don't think this is your kind of bar, and left.
Maybe they're wearing a swastika or something.
Be like, wait, you don't think you can outdrink me? Come on, princess.
Yeah. There we go.
I like Person says New Orleans shortly after Katrina. I grew up mostly in the Bronx and Harlem, so I have a pretty high bar for this is way too hood, but that was a whole different level, like the Soundview houses mixed with The Walking Dead.
Oof.
And then this person responds saying parts of New Orleans have been the Wild West for a long time.
There is no place we went that I felt uneasy, but I guess we didn't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we were mostly in touristy kind of spots. But, Memphis. Something I've heard of, I've never been there, but I've heard Cave Junction, Oregon is a really scary place. Because it's just mostly like meth manufacturers and stuff that live there.
That consistently shows up. There's a profile I follow that's like worst cities to live in 2025, and they'll like highlight specific cities throughout the states, and in Oregon they'll do like worst place to go to school, worst place to live, worst place to visit, and Cave Junction is consistently on there for their crime rate. It's like 39% above the national average or something like that.
Nice. Well,
I'd also say Seattle. Last time we were up in Seattle, it was not great.
No.
We were up there this summer for Chris Stapleton show, and it's much different than I remember it last time.
Like it was scary.
Yeah, there was just a lot of activity, and you could never tell like what it was in relation. It was all from a homeless and drug perspective, but you like, I feel like at any time this could turn violent.
We went to a Christmas thing downtown Seattle this last year and seemed fine. But anyway, yeah, I think that's a show.
Call it a day.
We did it, guys.
Whatever city you hail from, we hope it's safe.
But if not, send us the juicy details.
Yeah, crime stats, murder stats.
Send us your neighborhood link.
But thank you all for listening. Please support the show over at Patreon at patreon.com/qualifiednonsense. Watch us over on YouTube at youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. And feel free to send any questions or comments to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or hit us up on our socials found in the episode description. And after you've done all that, please rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. And we'll see you back here next week for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye.